Hello, friends. This is Sam Chaney reporting for Weaponized News. Today is November 14th, 2021, and we have Thomas from Alpha Omega Energy on the line. How are you doing this morning or in your neck of the woods this afternoon, Thomas?
Yeah, doing okay over here in Southeast Asia. Thank you for having me.
Wow. So you have a very interesting website. You're in the alternative energy business. Now you want to tell, you're saying that you have number one clean energy startup in history, and you want to tell us more. What does all that mean? How are you creating this energy? What is going on with your business? Sounds very exciting. Sounds like what the world needs today at this time of increasing petrol prices. Everybody wants to get off of the dirty energy, go green. So what is your technology company doing in that space?
Well, like you mentioned, as far as we're aware, we're the number one breakthrough clean energy technology startup in history. We've created more than 4,447 new energy and energy-related technologies as of today. That's the count as of today. So we've been creating endless technology over the years. We formed our startup in 2015 when I was living in China at the time. I lived in China for 5.5 years, and that's where we began. We began pitching all across Asia, pitched in 5 countries across Asia, won a lot of awards and different events and the big startup venues, etc. More than 40 different cities and 40 different venues. I also taught new radioactive shielding technology to Fukushima Daiichi when I was visiting there in Japan at Slush Tokyo, which is the number one startup event in Asia. It's billed as it anyway, but they were not too concerned at the time about quote unquote SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, environment, these kind of things.
Yeah. Let's key in. No, let's focus on your energy first. But that gets me all excited because you're talking about the new world order stuff. This what the globalists want to do with this S what are they called? The Sustainable Development Goals. That's the UN Agenda 2030.
Right. Yeah. It was interesting. It's been really quite an interesting journey. And here we have today, in this week, they've come out at the big COP26 meeting. And they've said that they...
And wait, real quick. So for people that don't know, that's the big climate change conference over there in Glasgow, Scotland, that they had this last week.
Yes. And they've come out with this new direction, and they're openly... right out publicly, they've changed their agenda effectively, or at least their communication. It was probably always the same, but they weren't telling people about this. Now they've come up with this incredibly firm decision that they want to leave all of the quote-unquote fossil fuel assets stranded in the ground, and this must happen by 2030, and they're trying to make it happen this year. That was their goal, and they say that they failed. They've had a failure because they didn't do that, didn't achieve that goal by effectively totally eliminating, putting a full stop as of today. That's their goal, to all oil, coal, natural gas, etc. Full stop to all of it. That's, they're coming out and saying it. I mean, you know, there's always been this talk in, especially I'm in Breakthrough Clean Energy, us Breakthrough Clean Energy Innovators, there's always been this talk about energy suppression. And people have heard about this. I've heard about it for 30 years. I used to think it was just, you know, some cuckoos on the internet talking this kind of things, etc. But now nobody can question it. I mean, not only are they doing energy suppression, I mean, there's been over 5,800 technologies seized in America. Over 4,000 of them are for energy-related technologies. And it's, that's not a myth. That's not some internet story. Anybody can go and look that up. You can go to talk to the US PTO, the patent office, and see about that. You know, mainstream media has reported on that. And I can send people articles. You can find it very, very easily on Google, etc. But they've come out fully, and they're not even, like, it's not about energy suppression anymore. They want to completely eliminate any energy growth at all in any part of all of these industries. It's amazing.
That's very disturbing. Yeah, like everybody probably has heard of Tesla, not Elon Musk Tesla company, but Nikola Tesla, right? And I don't know, people should do their research. It's very interesting. His battles with Thomas Edison about bringing energy to the masses, you could say, and all his inventions. Supposedly when he died, went and got seized by the FBI, they put all that on the shelf. And you go down the list, and we were talking a little bit before we started recording about this guy that out of Ohio that created this this internal combustion engine that could run off of water. And he was like, I forget even what the numbers were, hundreds and hundreds of miles on one tank of water. And so it just goes on and on and on. Like you were saying, just overwhelming suppression. But so then they want to shut down tomorrow or today, actually. It should be shut down now. No more fuel for your vehicle. So they want to just grind everything to a halt because that will totally stop the economy and we will have no more economy then, I guess.
Yeah, it is incredible, the language. I mean, that's in effect what they're saying, what they've been saying this week. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, and critics are springing up all over at the rhetoric. I mean, they don't have any plan. I mean, they've gone from this, you know, facade of sustainable development goals and this idea of, you know, this facade of transferring wealth from the rich countries to the poor countries, etc., which, I mean, that was never actually happening. The only transfer that was happening was effectively from the taxpayer to these rich, you know, globalist elites and corporations. And, you know, they're effectively just embezzling all the money and stealing the money. And, you know, a tiny trickle down even ends up in these poor people's hands. Usually it's going to some, you know, backdoor deals, partnerships, like quid pro quo stuff, the same Joe Biden Burisma stuff that you see, but happening through all of these NGOs and development works across the world. Almost none of the money ever really, you know, gets in the hands of any of these poor or small businesses or startups.
We saw it here too with under the Obama administration. Now that you mentioned Joe Biden, that's Solyndra. I don't know if you remember that deal. That was a whole alternative energy company that the government poured billions and billions and billions of dollars in. Oh, and we just don't know. We went bankrupt. We don't know what happened to the money. Oh, well, you know what I mean?
Right. And we see, it's really interesting. You know, Bill Gates is in the news a lot. And
yeah.
He used to be in the news a lot prior to the entire COVID thing about, you know, his breakthrough energy ventures fund, that fund, et cetera. So he supposedly had this fund. And he was trying to get the governments to give him a $100 billion to then, you know, fund energy projects, etc. But when you go to his website, and of course, I was interested in that as Breakthrough Energy Technology Innovator. I went.
Maybe you could get a grant and help out with the project, huh?
Well, that's what I was thinking. So we checked it out, and he's actually very vocal about not supporting the small private innovators. He's very vocal about it. He said, don't send us your technology, because if you do, it's not your technology anymore. They're effectively telling you that they're going to steal it and we're not going to support you.
Well, just like he stole Windows, huh?
Yeah, effectively. So when I saw that, you know, that's the day that I started kind of learning more about Bill Gates and who Bill Gates was. And, you know, this kind of attitude was really a shock to me. I was looking forward to, you know, eventually, hopefully getting, you know, some funding from the Gates Fund.
Because the media portrays these guys, the Musks, the Bill Gates, they're philanthropists, and they're here to save the world with their billions and billions of dollars. And if you just took the mainstream media perspective on who these guys are, you would think just like you, right? You would think, well, I'm over here trying to help too. Let me get in there and try to help too. And he's like, no, we actually don't want to help you.
Yeah, that was glaringly obvious once I found out what's really going on. They don't do that. And what's really curious also about Mr. Gates is he actually has a nickname in the energy industry. And this goes for a long time before, quote unquote, COVID was released, et cetera, this thing. And his nickname in the energy industry, given to him by, you know, the top energy executives, et cetera, like the Rockefeller Oil Group, et cetera, which, you know, of course, Rockefeller Group is, you know, behind Gates running the vaccine push, and they've been doing it for a very long time. But they gave him this interesting nickname, and that nickname was the Kiss of Death. Bill Gates' nickname in the energy industry is the Kiss of Death, and one of the reasons that he has that nickname, supposedly, now I'm not sure it has to do with this or it has to do with other things like vaccines, etc. But you know, most of these energy investments he makes, those companies go belly up, and they go belly up very quickly in a real hurry. So there's a battery, a saltwater battery company that he invested to, and he started promoting, and investors got sucked into that to the tune of about $200 million. And $200 million in a startup, it was just gone in 12 months. Less than 12 months, they burned through $200 million. So I don't know about you, but I think I'd have a really hard time as a startup burning through $200 million in 12 months.
Man, that's a lot of cocaine and hookers. What are they doing with all this money, man? You know? Yeah. And have no product, nothing to show at the end of it.
Yeah, and strangely, there was no SEC lawsuit. There was no you know, police involved. There's like no criminal action there. And there's you know, we see Theranos, the woman's going to court. We see Nikola Motors, which lied that they had technology for a fuel cell truck, and they even went IPO with no product at all, no prototypes, no nothing. $36 billion valuation. It was all a massive fraud.
These are bold criminals taking their companies public when they don't even have a product to sell.
Yeah. So now this guy's under investigation by the SEC. He's probably going to prison. But, you know, personally,
that Theranos one too. That's a giant scam, right? They're going to cure cancer. They're going to cure every disease. It's just all lies. Same with the vaccine, basically. Same program.
Just it was interesting. All lies. Theranos and Henry. In Theranos, Bill Gates and Henry Kissinger were involved in that. And a lot of people don't know that. That's quite interesting also. So, you know, I've been studying more about, you know, these elites and these globalists since, because, you know, we ran into a lot of dead ends trying to fundraise, despite winning 13 big awards, including number 3 in the entire country of China.
What are those awards? Who's giving out the awards? What are they for? Tell us about that. Tell us about your success in your industry.
Well, as we were originally pitching across China, which I relocated out of China in late 2016, early 2017. We pitched a lot of different startup events in there. They had a national competition, which is actually international, combining UK and Singapore. So it was the national China UK Singapore event. Sino UK is what they call it. And we won number 3 in that competition. They handpick over 500 of the top startups in the country, you know, and open it up to these two other countries. So, and we won number 3 in that, and they,
congratulations on that. That sounds very impressive.
They refused to fund us because we were foreign owners, and China is really surprised to me. There's never been a single startup in the history of the country, get a funding deal, get a VC deal ever in China. And
wow.
And now they've purged
people. Add some clarity to why these U.S. companies are so prone on doing whatever China does to get access to their market, right? Like NBA, Nike, any company, but those are like the big public ones. And it's like you guys sit here and social justice shame America all day, but you turn a blind eye to all the human rights abuses China's doing. Why are you doing that? Oh, well, it's for access to that market of 1 billion+ people.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And you still see the climate people, very strangely, you see this, you know, the climate change, you know, propagandists, they seem to have this just incredible love relationship for China. I mean, they just love communism. They love, you know, this country can do no wrong. It doesn't matter what it is.
What people, human rights abuses, what pollution, what authoritarian measures they take. And they're doing now the imperialism, just how they say, oh, the West is bad for imperialism, but yet they're doing the same type of imperialism now.
Right. Yeah. And they're they're constructing over 300 new coal plants over there and over 100 new nuclear reactors there in China right now as we speak. So, and they didn't even show up to the COP26 climate meeting, and India didn't even show up. So you got these two major, you know, quote unquote polluters, it's called, you know, they call CO2 a pollution, the building block of life, you know, the food for crops and CO2. Some of the interesting things I hope everybody knows and remembers in science that CO2, this is your forest food, right? So if there's more CO2 in the air, the forests are going to be able to expand. The forests are going to grow. They have more food, right? So if there's more CO2, you're going to have less deforestation. You're going to have a reforestation, and it's more CO2 in the air is going to fight desertification, not cause it, because there's going to be a lot more plant growth. Now, NASA has said, they've stated, and anybody can go to NASA website and get these reports and maps, etc. They show how the Earth has actually greened, and they attribute the greening of the Earth, significant greening, mind you, over the last 50 years, because there's been more CO2, more available plant food. So you have more crop yields, and you have more fight back against desertification. So, and that's being caused by the CO2 that they're calling a pollution, right? And trying to get rid of it. And also, more CO2 is going to create more fauna and flora, right? So more flowers and all the different ground vegetation. And that's going to, the byproduct of that is going to create a lot more water for the world, which we have water shortages around the world, et cetera, but it's going to create a lot more water because you have more surface area. So you have more dew point surface area for the dew to form, and it forms on plants incredibly well. So you have naturally more water generation when you have more plants, and more CO2 is definitely, obviously, according to NASA, you know, quote unquote, trust the science, right?
Thing about all that, and one thing they always leave out of the whole climate change debate, oh my gosh, climate change, extreme weather, we got to get rid of the CO2. That's their argument, right? But they never talk about geoengineering. They're doing geoengineering projects all over the place. You got those little floating barges that, like, you got HAARP that shoots the energy into the air. You got the chemtrail spraying. You got other type of geoengineering projects going all over the place, but no mention of those. Like, out of the side of their mouth, they say it, but that has nothing to do with any climate change.
Right. So I'm in a pretty unique situation being in this industry. There's not too many people doing clean energy that, you know, are talking against
the air. Thomas, tell us about your box. I'm on your website. You got this little box, looks like a battery maybe. What is up with this box? It's shooting electricity into, looks like, Bitcoin mining computers. What's going on with that picture? What's that representing? Tell us about your clean energy, please.
Yeah, so that's actually a fuel cell. That's our case for our fuel cell. Now, we can put anything inside of that case. It's just a case, effectively. But this is the first technology that we were aiming to commercialize, that we were trying to raise for, since we've been pitching as a startup. So we're making an industrial scale fuel cell. So we're our business model was making electricity for big factories, and we went to over 100 different large factories, from Coca-Cola to Procter & Gamble to a lot of different big hotels, etc., Sofitel and five-star hotels, to see if they want, you know, cheaper electricity, clean electricity with fuel cell. I mean, fuel cell is is a widely used technology. In California there, you have Ballard fuel cell, which, you know, done some different work through NASA, et cetera, through California and Texas. And then you have Bloom Energy, which is pretty famous. They've gone IPO already. There's like 20 fuel cell IPOs already. And Bloom Energy is serving almost 100 of the Fortune 500 companies in America already. Bank of America, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Owens Corning, a lot of big companies. So the fuel cell, it runs 24 hours a day.
So what is powering that? We, like, say, for, in my mind, I'm not that big into the industry in energy industry. I got tongue tied. Okay, so, like, I generate the power from a solar panel, and then I use that cell to store it in.
Well, No, that
or no, that's not how it works.
No, it works a little bit different to that. So fuel cell is effectively is a generator. Okay, so it's making electricity. Now there's several different types of fuel cells, and they generally all run on hydrogen. Okay, so and there's different, you know, there's different ways. There's six main branches in the fuel cell technology tree. And the one that Bloom Energy of California, which is a big company there, the one that they're using is just hydrogen in the gas lines. So you have your natural gas lines going to your gas oven, et cetera, that you cook with. They're using the same gas lines, effectively commercial gas lines. And they're just feeding that hydrogen directly into the fuel cell. And there's an electrochemical reaction that happens, and they're able to extract electricity from that hydrogen gas without burning it. It's simply how that's working. So that's the majority of fuel cell that's being used in the world is that way.
So it's hydrogen powered, and then that's 100% clean then?
Well, that way is not 100% clean, but it's very clean. It's
very clean. I'm starting to think it doesn't even matter. I think they're lying to us about everything now. I mean, maybe if you could see the carbon monoxide coming out of your tailpipe, a big old smoky thing, maybe that's polluting. But I don't know, man. Is the pollution really as bad as they're saying, or have they overhyped it? What do you think about that?
Well, the only thing, strangely, that these climate change people, and sometimes I call them climate liars, the climate propagandists, because you know, the only thing that they're talking about in terms of pollution is CO2, is a plant.
Yeah, food. Yeah. But there's a bunch of other pollution that they don't even talk about, right?
Yeah, I've never heard them mention it. Not, you know, I mean, they
carbon monoxide, right? That's a big pollutant, and they don't ever mention that. It's always carbon dioxide.
Right.
And that you breathe out of your mouth, right?
Right. And they call it all carbon, right? So they're manipulating people. You know, I saw them doing this a long time ago, way before I got involved in energy, 20 years ago even. And I was always a fan of clean energy. I was a fan of solar and wind and these new technologies at the time. I thought it was interesting. I thought eventually I want to go into this, and eventually I did. But I could never agree with the lies that they're starting to talk about, you know, climate change destroying the world and all of these things. And I knew about greenhouses and greenhouse science. And I built some greenhouses before, some pretty large ones. So I understood, you know, you pump greenhouses full of CO2 in order that the plants will grow more and much faster and increase the crop yield. So you're pumping these full of CO2. And generally what's happening is you're just in a lot of them, you know, a lot of the farmers, they're just taking a generator and sticking the exhaust directly into the greenhouse, you know, when the people are not in there at that time, and they just run it until the CO2 goes up to 1100 to 2400. Now there's other ways to do it, but a lot of people, that's what they do. So, and at 1100 to 2400 CO2 level, it radically increases the crop yield. So, you know, that's the fact. That's what, you know, photosynthesis and what's happening with the sunlight, etc. And they need this building block for the plants to grow. So, you know, I always thought it was quite embarrassing and quite shameful that they're lying about this. So I agreed with the technology and the goal of, okay, let's do things more for the environment and you know, get off oil. There's never enough of it. There's always a shortage of it.
What do you think about that idea? Is that because they pit that whole scare of there's peak oil coming, we're going to run out of oil. Is oil a limited natural resource, or is the earth constantly producing it? Does oil come from dinosaur bones? I'm starting to have serious doubts about that whole story.
No, actually, they only teach that basically in America.
Okay, tell me.
If you go traveling around the world and you tell people this, they have no idea. They'll have no idea what you're talking about. They don't get.
So I'm an idiot American over here believing that fairy tale.
Well, this is, you know, this is perpetrated by the Rockefeller oil.
Yeah, of course.
Rockefellers, you know, it's a multi generational family, but you know, very powerful intergenerational family going back 200 plus years, and they really had a massive stranglehold, total monopoly control in the oil industry effectively in the United States, to the point that Congress had to break them up in a big war over like
Standard Oil. Yeah.
Right. And Bill Gates' family, Bill Gates and the Rockefellers are, you know, they're related, not only related, but you know, they've been business partners. This, you know, Bill Gates' father and grandfather and great grandfather, and on it goes for generations. They've been, you know, as tight a business partners as you could possibly be. These two families have been totally intertwined. So, you know, Bill Gates is effectively also, you know, the Rockefeller oil dynasty and industry. And then the Rockefellers got into petrochemical. They formed the American Medical Association. They were instrumental in forming the CDC, you know, the very big vaccine, you know, proponents. And then they started, you know, collectively together, the Gates family and the Rockefellers, they started what was called at the time the Negro Extermination Project under Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, eugenics. They started right. Eugenics here.
Yeah, so the energy industry is, you know, very, very pervasive.
So what do they tell people in other parts of the world? What's the deal with peak oil and then with the whole oil comes from dinosaur bones? What's the story other places? Where did these fossil fuels, or I guess they're not even fossil fuels. Where does this oil come from?
Have you ever heard of dinosaurs in Saudi Arabia? Dinosaurs in
Iraq? Well, supposedly it was a billion years ago, and we just don't know. And somehow it's buried. And, you know, no, I haven't actually. No.
Right. So that's interesting. So the Rockefeller organization, they consolidated all of the textbook companies, and they bought them all except for one, and they bought all the distribution up, so they can control that one. And effectively, they started to meddle with science, just like what's going right now with COVID and all this manipulation, etc. They've been doing that for well over 150 years.
It's amazing, and it's like, oh, you've been lied to your whole life. That's hard to wrap your mind around for a lot of people, even me. Still, it's like it's this pervasive. They control this much of the information, even going back 200 years, right, and 150 years, and it's like, oh yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah. So they've been manipulating all kinds of information about science, you know, virtually all of it. You could effectively say they believe in this idea called scientific totalitarianism. And this is a political strategy that actually was championed by Elon Musk's grandfather. So he was in Canada, living in Canada at the time. And he was actually thrown out of Canada because he was pushing this. And the government at the time apparently thought it was a bit too tyrannical for them. So they threw him out. And then he eventually made his way to South Africa, etc. And then we all know Elon Musk's grandfather had a massive emerald mine in South Africa, etc. He's still involved in those kind of things there. So this idea of scientific totalitarianism effectively is like running two or three different sets of science so that you know what the real science is, the real truth is about physics, et cetera. But you're giving your enemies, right, like the Nazi Germany, et cetera, you're giving them different information so that they're kind of lost in the dark. They can never really truly figure it out. But you have the real information, the real technology, and your enemies can't really ever get access to it, right? So, and in order to really do that, because you're always being spied on, you have to lie to your own people. So even your own people don't know, right? And that's, you know, kind of CIA has some phrases about that. Like, you'll know when we really, you know, have true control, when our own people don't even know what the truth is. So the Rockefeller Foundation, they're instrumental in doing this when they consolidated all of the textbooks. You know, not just in America, but across the entire NATO allies in the British Commonwealth, which is 54 countries, right? So this has been said everywhere. So they started this whole thing about, you know, oil comes from dinosaurs, so that, you know, they create this, you know, false narrative of scarcity instead of abundance.
Artificial scarcity, yeah.
Right. So then they can push up the value of their commodity.
It's a great scam. You got to give them credit for it. I mean,
it worked really well, didn't it?
Boy, yes, it did.
So where oil is coming from, oil is actually a renewable resource. plants, if you go to talk to any botanist or a horticulturalist, et cetera, herbalist, plants are secreting oil every single day, right? You know, like one of the most commonly known ones is aloe vera, right? Aloe plants, everybody knows it's secreting oil continuously.
Yeah, all
plants.
And hemp oil too is a great example.
Yeah, all plants are continuously secreting oil, and plants grow and then they die off, and that becomes your vegetation. That's your quote unquote fossils, your plant fossils, right? That, you know, in all of the animal life, from bugs to, you know, animals in the forest, they're all dying, and there's oil, you know, continuously being generated. But the amount, you know, how, if you could think of all of the plants in the entire world, all the trees in the forest, all of these plants, right, how much oil that they're secreting collectively every single day. You know, when we're sweating, we're creating oil out of our sweat. You know, we're always oil. Go running and see how much oil you produce, right? There's oil being produced absolutely everywhere, and it's being produced electrochemically in the ground also, between the ocean coming up, and you have all these hydrogen interactions and inside of the magma and the salt domes, etc. In the big lava stores, and you have these like big boilers inside of there underneath all of these volcanoes and in beneath the crust where you have all this lava, magma, etc. You have chemical reactions, electrochemical reactions happening there, and you're generating incredible amounts of oil. And that's never talked about. I don't believe we're never going to run out of oil. It's never going to happen. But at the same time, you know, I'm obviously pro clean energy, and there is pollution being created when we are burning this, right? And, you know, we can all realize that when we're stuck in traffic for an hour or two. You know, I used to live in California, and the traffic sometimes can be pretty horrific in, you know, Bay Area and also Los Angeles. So, you know, and you're breathing this garbage in from this, you know, this massive pollution in all of
the carbon.
Cars. Yeah, it's
carbon,
not it's
monoxide. That's right. The bad stuff.
Right. And these other things, if it was only CO2, hey, great. That'd be fantastic. Right. But there is some other pollution, and that's not so nice. I certainly don't want to breathe it in.
Yeah, I'm in the Central Valley here, and I can attest to that. We do. There is smog, right? Because we're like a bowl right here that all the pollution from the automobiles comes down into the valley here, into the Central Valley. And it used to be a lot worse. And so, yeah, they have cleaned up the air. You can say that they have cleaned up the air, and there is such a thing as smog now.
Yes. Yeah, this smog's getting worse everywhere in the world. It's
China, incredible. Man. China, some of these pictures out of China. And I was seeing that people were actually wearing the mask and all that, not for COVID, before they released that narrative. The people were wearing the mask due to the pollution, and people were protesting the air quality in Wuhan, China, right before the supposedly bioweapon hit, or the bat had sex with a pangolin, whatever the ridiculous story they're telling us, right? Or the official story for everybody that doesn't even remember, because everybody's still wearing the mask, taking the shots. They don't even remember the official story of COVID was a pass from a bat to a pangolin to a human in a wet market. That was the official story. And we don't hear much of that anymore now.
Yeah, well, it's been completely revealed that, you know, this is engineered in the Wuhan lab. Not only was it engineered in the lab, and Congress is, you know, there's two indictments against Anthony Fauci right now, including the criminal referral that was put on Anthony Fauci by Rand Paul in Congress, because, you know, there's records, complete documentation of them doing this engineering in the Wuhan lab. And
yeah,
the Pentagon has even released the patents for that work that they did in there with Peter Daszak and Anthony Fauci. So in the patents, and there's been releases that have been published on the major scientific journals around the world, six of the top scientific journals around the world. They've been publishing this information since prior to 2013, when they've been doing this engineering of SARS-CoV-1 and using gain of function to advance SARS-CoV-1 into SARS-CoV-2. and 2000
gain of function, gain of function. That makes it that's the key to the whole thing, right? Because that makes it highly contagious and transmittable to humans.
Right. So they're engineering this to make it much more effective, more lethal, right? More infectious.
And highly illegal in the United States. You can't engineer bioweapons. Supposedly it's highly illegal in the United States. That's why they had to move the program to China.
Right. So they effectively illegally circumvented the laws and moved it to Wuhan, etc. And this was being published, all of the steps. So if you want to see the exact cooking recipe, in layman's terms, of how you could make this, they've spelled it out in incredible detail. Like, anybody can get access to this from even the NIH, the National Institutes of Health website. You can download all of this, and I've done that. And, you know,
Now, listen, they do that for plausible deniability, right? Because Thomas, you're over there. We don't like your clean energy. Now you're a bioterrorist releasing bioweapons. It wasn't us, the guys that say they want to depopulate the whole planet and we want total control. It's some crazy bioterrorist alternative energy guy over there. That's a plausible deniability, I think, is the reason. Because you're like, why would they release the formula for this? It's insane, right?
Yeah, it is incredible the amount of detail they can go into. Like, pretty much anybody could just come in behind and copy the work and do the same thing in some other BSL-4 lab somewhere in Russia and wherever, right? So the detail is incredible. I really recommend anybody go read this. Now, most people might be a little bit over their heads, but I think if you really try, you can get it. I'm a really technical guy, so, you know, I like getting into that kind of stuff. But it's published, so nobody can deny this. Now, anybody, any of these mainstream media people, if they were doing any kind of investigation at all for their journalism, et cetera, they would see this immediately.
These people are jokes. The mainstream media in this country, and I guess around the world, you got one or two guys here and there that a little bit of truth comes out. But, I mean, it's just a joke. It's just pure propaganda and lies 24/7, follow a stupid narrative that is easily provable wrong. And so, and they get paid a lot of money to be liars. I mean, they're paid propagandists, is all it is.
Yeah, it's very.
That's why I got to do my show, Thomas. That's why weaponizing these, my little show. I'm going to put it on Access TV. We're going to put it on. I'm already banned from Facebook, YouTube, and Google. So I saw, like, on your website, you're banned too. So we're in good company here. We're banned from these platforms because it used to be you could get out a little bit of truth on YouTube. No more on YouTube now, even.
Yeah, as far as I know, I'm the most banned startup founder in human history. We've been deleted on 16. I call them big Nazi tech now.
16 big Nazi tech
platforms. How strange is that in the era of, you know, climate change frenzy, etc.? They're banning breakthrough.
You should be the number one guy on all these shows. Tell us about your clean energy, brother. But no.
So it is. I'm really shocked at what's going on. Like, I'm sure, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of people are. What's going on? You know, everybody's shocked. It's affecting everybody around the world. And of course, it's affecting the emerging markets, like where we are building. You know, I decided to go into the emerging markets and build instead of, you know, building in Silicon Valley, et cetera, where I used to live. I used to live in Silicon Valley area. But I decided, you know, I bought into this idea of change the world. You know, change the world. And I was a big fan of John F. Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy said, one of the things I love him for, you know, he formed the Peace Corps, and his idea was to send at least 100,000 engineers out into these undeveloped countries and help them do engineering and build projects for them and help them develop, etc. A very wonderful, noble thing. So I really believed in that concept and wanted to do that at some point in time.
Industrialize the developing world.
Yeah. So, you know, they don't have it. They don't have this incredible technology that we have. They don't grow up with. I mean, 80% of the people in Cambodia, for example, do not have secure access to electricity. 80% of people.
They're still in the 1800s, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like maybe, you know, something 1930, something around there, I would say. But there's a big confluence of technology here now, but. But there's 4 billion people that don't have, like, on the records that the United Nations talks about, they say 4 billion people do not have access to clean drinking water, and 4 billion people do not have access to toilets, believe it or not, like, you know, like what we have in America, right? So that equals there's 4 billion people that don't have access to secure electricity.
And that's basic public health that they love so much to tell us we love public health so much. That's basic public health that we could give these people to reduce the pain and suffering and disease and death of the world.
Right. So that's a great concept. So, you know, I decided to go out and build in one of these emerging market countries, build my startup in there. The problem is there's no funding. There's no venture capital. There's never been a venture capital deal in Cambodia. I relocated to Cambodia from China and was trying to get onto the stock market very early in here. It has a little tiny fledgling stock market. But there's never been a startup deal to a startup in the history of the country. Not a single deal. It's incredible. So
now how's that not discrimination, right? But we don't ever hear about, you're the first guy I ever heard even talk about. That's extremely concerning as discrimination, but we have to open up everything to everybody and give them everything here in America. But these other countries are very protectionist, and they're not even letting anybody with an outside accent start up a company there and get on the stock exchange.
Yeah, you can do
that's
it.
You can say that's very high barriers to entry.
Yeah, in some places, right? In China, there's you could list on the stock market. Just none of the Chinese are going to invest to you if you're American. They only will invest to a Chinese face. If you're building a startup, you know, there are some venture capital firms from China that are investing heavily in Silicon Valley. But if you were to go over there to China, and
I think they bought up more than half of California already, man. They bought all these movie studios. I mean, real estate. They're heavily invested here in California. The Chinese are for sure.
They want a piece of the, you know, American success story. And if those companies are going to do really well and make a ton of money, they want to do a sovereign wealth fund and get a piece of that. And then, you know, they're going to profit off of the, you know, success stories of America. So it's a really smart investment strategy, especially as doing a sovereign wealth fund to invest overseas. But strangely, America and the American leaders are not doing that. And they're not investing with sovereign wealth funds to earn money off these great success stories in the other countries, which is really incredibly terrible policy. It shows a real lack of leadership internationally. It's a really terrible investment policy. You know, the government should be, you know, they're all demanding that, you know, you have a 401k, you invest for your future. We're not going to be there for you. Social Security is not going to be there for you. So you need to get an IRA. You need to do all these things. You must invest for the future. But us, for the government, oh, we're not going to do it.
That's over. I mean, I got out of mine a good when I was in that when I first started my career. I had a 401k, all that, bought into it. Then I did my research a little. My background is in economics and accounting. And I figured that out. I said, this is all a scam, man. I'm not going to put all my money in and let somebody else control it for the next 40 years of my life. And then somehow maybe the stock market and these bankers are not going to steal all the money. I'm like, hell no, man. You got to take control of your own money now. That's what, and a great investment vehicle for yourself is Bitcoin. Let me shill for Bitcoin a little bit right here. I'm actually my own Lightning node. I'm on the Lightning network. Come look up Weaponized on the Lightning Bitcoin network. We'll open up a channel and start doing some peer-to-peer transactions. I had to just shill for Bitcoin real quick there. Sorry about that.
That's right. Yes. So the government, if they're telling you to invest for your future and invest in the stock market, shouldn't the government, you know, print, you know, they like printing currency. Boy, do they they really printed a lot of currency under these Democrats, right?
Well, they've been doing it. I mean, you look at the chart, the purchasing power of the dollar from 1913 when the Federal Reserve was formed, it's like almost straight down. It goes up, down. You know what I mean? So purchasing power is like we lost 98% or something on the dollar of our purchasing power now in the year 2021 from the formation in 1913 of the Federal Reserve private central banking system.
So the government, they should be taking money, like printing. If they're going to print money, why not print a bunch of money and invest to startups, say Californian startups, for example, but why not a sovereign wealth fund invest to great new technology startups like Alpha Omega Energy, you know, my startup, for example, right?
They invest in social engineering. That's all they want to do is give grants to nonprofits, the startups that are on board with the social engineering program for one world government. That's what it's, I mean, at the end of the day, we have total traitors everywhere you look in government and a bunch of incompetent, arrogant fools.
Yeah, it's looking, it's not looking the best right now.
No, it's not. Like you said, why can't a startup like you get any grants out of the deal? So you have tried to apply for grants with the U.S. government?
Well, you know, we're not domiciled in America right now. You know, we're building it out in the emerging markets. And as far as I know, there's no grants for that.
But there should be, is what you're saying. There should be.
Well, I don't see why not. Why not invest, you know, why not invest anywhere? Why not allow, you know, grants and investment in all of these, you know, great little companies and startups and technology anywhere in the world?
We love foreign aid. Hey, we love foreign aid over here. Why not put it to some actual good use instead of funding foreign militaries to kill people?
Yeah, or instead of just, you know, solely foreign aid, why not invest in their startups?
An actual investment.
Earn part of the profit, right? Take, you know, why can't the American government invest in a startup like ours and take 20% shares so that they make 10x on the investment, et cetera, and then they could do a lot more? But, you know, the government should be investing and profiting off of all of these things and then distributing that money to the citizens. That's their job. That's what they should be doing, but they're not doing that. And it's really, it shows... Not only I don't buy the idea of calling them idiots anymore. No,
they know. I mean, there's different levels, but the guys at the top, they know exactly what they're doing. And then they have their underlings that are, I think, idiots, arrogant, drug addicts. They're like, you know, they're all compromised, blackmailed. It's a very dirty, dirty, the swamp. Like, you know, the swamp is a very dirty, dirty business.
It is. The American government is so much more corrupt than I ever could have possibly imagined.
Right.
So I've been learning more. So, you know, in my journey as a breakthrough clean energy technology innovator, I went to all of these globalist organizations. I went to them personally. I went to their offices. I met with them. I solicited.
And you took what they're saying at face value, and you went there with that mindset.
Yeah, I assumed that they really cared about these things like change the world and development for these, you know, undeveloped nations. I assumed that that's what's really going on. And I really kind of, I wouldn't say worshipped, but I really was a huge fan.
Thought these philanthropists were the good guys and they really are trying to solve these world problems, right? And so what did you learn by going and actually interacting with these great philanthropists, organizations?
Eventually, the World Economic Forum, they fully sponsored us to their event. Yes, this one here, Klaus Schwab, right? I didn't know anything about Klaus Schwab at the time. I, you know, learned like everybody else, unfortunately, his family, his great-grandfather and his father were employees for Adolf Hitler. His great grandfather was the literal tank maker for Adolf Hitler, for crying out loud. And so that's really, you know, what's the story there that everybody should look into. Who is Klaus Schwab and who's his family, his father and his grandfather, and, you know, their involvement with the Adolf Hitler Nazi regime. So they're you know, very much intertwined into that. So everybody needs to understand, you know, who are these people that are setting this policy? I mean, these are the Nazis, for crying out loud, literally.
And, the Fourth Reich. It looks like the Fourth Reich here.
It absolutely is. So the World Economic Forum, it was interesting. They sponsored us, our startup, to their event. And we went to their event. And then we were handing out some flyers to the people there and mingling and trying to meet the right kind of person so that we could find our investor, etc. And this one staff, this lady, she came and she took our flyer. She's looking at it, all scrunched up face, all disheveled and looking very uncomfortable. What she was reading on this, it says breakthrough energy. And it says that our fuel cell makes more than 600 times the power per square meter of solar panels. And we can stack them 10 high in a warehouse, for example, like a power plant, and make 6,000 times the power per square meter of solar. and it's running 24 hours a day instead of just 4 hours a day, maybe, right? Depending on whatever the weather gives you that day, which is the big problem with solar, right? So she saw this and she ran upstairs, like taking it to somebody, like, and it just gave me that feeling of, you know, the Wizard of Oz movie when the person runs behind the curtain and there's some guy behind a curtain somewhere. And she came back like 5 minutes later and we're still mingling, whatnot.
Like, she's taking our info to the big boss.
Yeah, something like this, right? And she came back with like these like 16 big burly Norwegian security guards completely surrounded us, you know, behind us and everything else. And I'm like, okay. And then she started threatening me, saying, you know, we have a lot of security here. Do you understand? And like this, like really disgruntled. And I was, you know, I'm in a tuxedo and bow tie and okay. Is there a problem? Right. And she's waving this flyer at me and whatnot. And, you know, it was very strange. And then she said that they're not, you know, we're not letting you in anymore. You're not coming. You're not joining the meeting. You're not joining the meeting. And she was very angry, very upset about this. And, but she didn't really have a reason why, just over the flyer, right?
Well, because your energy is not part of the agenda.
Right. So, and you know, and I had no idea that it would be like that. You know, they had thought that we're just a local solar company. They had no idea that we're Breakthrough Energy, right? So then they threw us out. So this is a big conference center in a big 5-star hotel. So they couldn't throw us out of the hotel, really. They said, we'll let you stay in the lobby so you can mingle whatever, but if you cannot take these flyers out, even if we so much as see one of your flyers out of your bag, we're going to throw you out on the street. We're going to have security throw you out on the street. You understand? I mean, it was really like over the top. And so that was like a really big learning experience for me.
Wow, I bet. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, you hear about these activists get kicked out of World Economic Forum regularly. I mean, it's a regular occurrence. And they even do that for political theater to, you know, act like the, you know, public is revolting against them and these kind of things to put on like even more impetus for whatever propaganda that they want to push. They use that for their agenda, like political theater that they really do that. They pay for that. I mean, the United Nations hired, they have on the payroll full time. And of course, this is paid for by the American taxpayer. They hired over 10,000. Online propagandists, so basically like troll accounts, and this is public. This has been released on mainstream media that they've done this, and they're doing this to go around and propagandize and brainwash people and attack people that they claim are misinformation or disinformation about these kind of things. Like, say, for example, us, right? So when I talk on a Twitter or something about CO2 is plant food, you know, don't, you know, there is no climate emergency.
They're saying basic science.
Yeah. So they will send people to, you know, troll us and attack, et cetera, and then get us kicked off, which Twitter deleted our accounts. So I had over 42,000 followers. I was getting over 1 million impressions a day, and Twitter deleted our account. They never said why. They never indicated why. They just criminally vandalized and burned our account to the ground. It's like burning our storefront, burning our business to the ground.
Yep.
It's criminal vandalism.
I know the feeling.
And they stole also all of our commercial material, our marketing material, everything else. They stole that. They refused to give us access to it so that we can even download that. So they've stolen that. So it's clearly criminal in a criminal organization. There's a lot of people who understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Google straight up stole money from my account. I had a Google AdSense account. I was getting they were serving advertising on my website, weaponizednews.com. And they sent me an email one day and say, due to dangerous and derogatory content, we're no longer doing business with you. They froze me out, locked me out of my AdSense account and stole the money out of it. I mean, they truly are criminals.
I try. I would really try a police report.
It wasn't that much though. You see, that's the whole thing. Yeah. I think it was like $80. I had to set up, I earn $100. It gets deposited in my bank. And I was about at $80, and then they froze me out. It wasn't that much money. It's not worth my time. You know what I mean? But if they do that to 1,000 people, it starts adding up. They're stealing a lot of people's money.
Right. So, and there's still, you know, the principle behind it, and you know,
these, oh, that's still stealing one penny. I mean, you took what's mine that's not yours. That's stealing, right?
Right. It's theft. It's criminal activity, and with everything that they're doing, there needs to be somebody who's, you know, and they're counting on that too. Oh, it's $80. They're not going to.
I think that's part of their business model. Is they're like, oh, we'll just steal their chump change, and nobody's going to worry because nobody has the time to go after $80, right?
On behalf of humanity, somebody needs to do it. So
yeah,
I would encourage you to do it. I think it would be a big story if you're a independent media host and you went after them for that. I think a lot of media would pick that up. So I would encourage you to do it. But anyway,
I don't know. I said, okay, I can't deal with Google, YouTube, Facebook. I'm done. And I always knew, right? I always knew when I got on those platforms, I was like, the only reason to be on these CIA intelligence agency spy platforms is to spread the truth and get kicked off eventually because you're going to say something that ruffles their feathers and they don't want the rest of the public to hear.
Yes. Yeah. Another interesting policy came out. I'm going to segue back to your Bitcoin comment there. Now we have the Federal Reserve candidate by the Biden administration. Is this Asian, you know, Chinese looking lady who's educated.
Oh, that's flaming communist, that woman.
Yeah, she's educated in communist schools. Radical.
Not just saying that, she's from the USSR, former right. Soviet Union, right?
Right. But she, you know, she looks Chinese, right? So
yeah,
interesting. Like all of these different candidates, I mean, they're just continuously Chinese people. You know, the big you know, spokespeople for you know, the big spokespeople for COVID, etc. Also, you know, you have Chinese, Theresa Lam, right? And Theresa Lam, that might be the Canadian health minister. So I'm forgetting the one that they keep putting on CNN endlessly.
Nguyen, Dr. Nguyen, former head of Planned Parenthood. Yeah, very demonic creature.
Yeah, worked with Bill Gates for a very long time.
Yep.
Genocidal. The Canadian government, all of the,
their head. I forget that woman's name. Another Chinese woman. Like, yeah, right. That's very interesting. I never even thought of that, but yeah.
And in Alberta, the province of Alberta, also, you have a Chinese health director there as well. And this is seen everywhere. Is this kind of situation? So it's just Chinese.
That's very interesting. The world sees that with the Western nations have a Chinese face now representing our public health policy.
Right. And it used to be, you know, there's a woman who I'm not actually not sure. I assumed that she might even have been a Chinese CCP agent or something. Used to work at the, used to be the director of the United States Patent and Trade Office. But she might have been, I'm not sure, her heritage could be Korean or something. She's now been replaced by another person, but for several years there, that was interesting to see that as well. I don't think that was causing any confidence in people's intellectual property security by that for a number of years. It certainly was a concern from a number of people that I spoke to before. But yeah, the USPTO, we can get into that issue another time, I'm sure, if you want to get into that.
No, actually, let's wrap up the show right now. We're at a cool hour. Plug your stuff. How do people get a hold of your information, how do people get a hold of your energy? Can I scale this to power my home?
Well, we're focused on in providing electricity to industrial. So making a lot of electricity, and we're focused on the emerging markets for now. So, you know, our focus is doing social impact. So we're a social enterprise for impact in the emerging markets. So we're focused on that for now. So we're an early stage startup. We're just commercializing our technology now, so we can do that. And we're going to provide power to data center in the beginning. So we're going to be effectively in the beginning mining Bitcoin with our electricity, just like you're talking about the idea of doing this. So that's what we're going to be doing in the beginning. And the reason we've chosen to do that rather than to do factories is a little bit easier for us to scale up in the beginning. And I think venture capital investors are going to like that a lot. Us powering data center, of course, there's a lot of data center in Silicon Valley and all throughout California, in all countries, actually, it's growing like crazy. So we're still a little bit too early to make, and we don't make consumer product. So we're not selling product to consumer. Eventually, that's a possibility after some years that we could do that, probably after we go in the stock market, after we IPO. I don't think we should do that before. So we're going to scale up quite a bit before that. But if anybody wants to check us out, they can go to our website at aomegaenergy.com. I still do have one Twitter account left. It's Alpha VC, like venture capital, comms, like communication. Alpha VC comms is my Twitter handle. I'm also on Gab at Alpha Omega Energy. You can find me at Alpha Omega Energy on almost any independent social media platform. I'm not on the Trump one yet, the Truth or whatnot. I think you can't quite register on there just yet. It's not fully up yet.
But we'll see you there and find you there. I will put the links to your contacts in the description below this video. Thank you very much for your time. Very interesting conversation. I hope we can do it again soon. I wish you much luck in your ventures. Do your own research, subscribe to this channel, speak out, and take action.